number 17. Moving along. I don't think we're going to make it as far as we did with sovereignty. I think this might be the last or second to last one on righteousness and justice. So, but we're on number 17. So before we get going, let's take a moment of silent prayer. And for us, that simply means we can confess our sins directly to God the Father. We are then cleansed from all unrighteousness and able to be filled with the Spirit. Also able to learn the Word of God and able to apply it as He sees fit and He desires us to do, and walking in the light accordingly. So with that being said, let's go ahead and pray. Dear Father, we are grateful to be here, thankful for another day. We know that each day is very well laid out by You. You take great attention and pay a lot of detailed attention to us, and we're very thankful for it. We are just open to Your Word, and we pray for understanding, pray for guidance, and pray for a change of heart so we can further apply the Word the way You see fit. We thank You for all these things, and we ask them in Your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So, I had a little quiz I wanted to do before we get going. It's not a, don't worry, everybody kind of got a little tense there. It's not that kind of quiz. It's basically I wanted to show you this, the blurring of the lines between phase one and phase two. And I wanted you to see where, if you can pick it up, about where this is. Now, this is about salvation. If you remember, if you've been in this church longer than a week or two, you know that phase one is different from phase two. God desires us all to live phase two accordingly, of course, but it's not required for salvation. Everybody understand that, right? Now, I think what I wanted you to look for is when you first start to notice a hint of lordship salvation, okay? I'm going to just start reading it for you, and I have it up here on the slide too, and it's subtle, but it is, I think, very definitely there. You'll see what I'm talking about. Here goes the first slide. It says, eternal life is indeed a free gift, Romans 6:23. Salvation cannot be earned with good deeds or purchased with money. It has already been bought by Christ, who paid the ransom with His blood. Well, that all checks out to me. I don't know about you, but that all sounds very good. I mean, that sounds, I think that's what we believe, and I agree definitely 100% with every bit of this. Even without verifying that scripture, just the words here look very clear. Looks right. Let's go to the next. But that does not mean there is no cost in terms of salvation impact on the sinner's life. This paradox may be difficult, but it is nevertheless true. Salvation is both free and costly. So I'm sure you kind of sniffed something out of that right there. Now, if I was teaching this, I could probably do a pretty good job on getting it over on a lot of people, except the ones that understand that God desires certain things that are not necessarily, what can we say, a fact yet as a newborn believer. He desires us to grow spiritually, but that boils down to your volition as a born-again believer. So when we say salvation is both free and costly, I would say that's true, but we have to apply those to Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, remember, I told you that the spotlight is put on you in lordship salvation, and this free and costly is directed towards the believer in this case. But it costs Jesus Christ quite a bit, right? And it's definitely free to us because of God making it free. That's grace. That's the grace part. But I'll keep going. There's a little bit more. It gets even more fun. Thus, in a sense, we pay the ultimate price for salvation when our sinful self is nailed to the cross. It is a total abandonment of self-will. It is an exchange. It is an exchange of all that we are for all that Christ is. And it denotes implicit obedience, full surrender to the Lordship of Christ. Nothing less can qualify us as saving faith. That's from John MacArthur's book, The Gospel According to Jesus, page 140. You can see that this is definitely, there's no scripture being quoted in this, and I'll tell you why, because there's no scripture that describes salvation in this way. That's why. I just want you to be careful when you hear stuff like this, because as good as it may sound for a believer to be obedient, we all desire that. God desires that. When you start requiring it as a condition for salvation, that's where you start getting into trouble. Notice that there's nothing wrong with any of these things that he's talking about. But he's saying it's a requirement. The focus is no longer on the work of Christ on the cross, but it's on your works as a believer. So, if we're preaching a salvation message for a new believer to be implicitly obedient, fully surrendering to the Lordship of Christ, that will just blow someone's mind, because they have no concept of being fully surrendering their life to Christ. They just need to accept Christ as their Savior by faith alone, in Christ alone. That's the start. This is a lifelong process right here, as we know that he's drawing out. But just be careful, because sometimes it does sound good. But when you hear qualifying faith or true faith, that can be a little indicator as well. Anyways, I just wanted to throw that out, because we need to keep you on your toes. You might have been slipping there. We hadn't talked about this in a little while. So we've been talking about righteousness, and I think we went through quite a few details. But one of the things that we've been through is what kind of attention are we receiving from God as far as positive attention or negative attention? Is it because when we're walking in righteousness, we receive that positive attention, and when we're not growing, not obedient believers, we can draw God's negative attention? And all that means is he takes it very, very personal, and he pays everyone very close attention, but he desires, and he really is satisfied when we are obedient versus not. But either way, he's going to pay us attention, that we saw. So there's benefits to both. There's benefits to the believer who is growing. And there's a disadvantage, we could say, to the benefit who is not growing. And that's that positive and negative attention that we brought up. Some of the benefits that we saw toward the faithful believer include the Lord delivers us. He safeguards us. He sides with us against our opponents. He pays whatever price will meet our need. That was that redeeming effect that he has, not only at the cross, but every day in your life. The Lord saves us from many things. He offers himself as an available refuge, someone where we can take cover. The Lord has an awesome way to protect the believer's soul in a way that defends against the outward problems that we have in adversity or even evil. There's a refuge that we have in the Lord. And another one is, of course, answering prayer and blessing. And I wanted to talk a little bit more tonight about blessings, because, you know, I hadn't really hit a lot on blessings, but it definitely is a fact. If we are going to suffer as believers in Jesus Christ, one of those unique positive advantages that God offers us in suffering and throughout suffering is blessing. He doesn't just cut the blessing switch or the valve, turn it off. He actually turns it up, because one of the things that we are working on, that God is molding us into, is to be Christ-like. And in order to be Christ-like, we have to gain capacity along the way. And so this is, I think it's an exciting thing to know that not only are we growing, but we're gaining the ability to be able to handle more of what God wants to give you and bless you with. So that's definitely positive attention. We also looked at the fact that we are called. Remember, we're called to suffer. That wasn't suffering that you deserve, but it was suffering that was unjust. Suffering that you don't deserve, but that God gives you in your life just for the advantage, just for the benefit, for endurance, to grow as a faithful believer. And don't ever forget about capacity, because we're dragging that up with us. I haven't mentioned it a lot yet, but you are gaining more than you think you're gaining as a believer in Jesus Christ by going through the difficulties, going through the problems, going through the suffering. It's not for no reason at all. There is a big reason that God has designed in these things, and it's to mold you so you can handle the bigger and the better and the more difficult. That won't seem more difficult. So if we can get anything to be easier when it comes to suffering, we all want that. And this is what capacity definitely does for us. So we're called to suffer, which we said is a way to demonstrate God's power in us, which is just another way to say glorify God. We're here on this earth to glorify God. That comes in various forms, and it looks a lot of different ways. As new believers, it's simply making day-to-day decisions in fellowship, within full participation in God's plan, filled with the Holy Spirit, growing consistently and applying the Word. That's glorifying to God. But in order to maximize on your abilities, God is going to enter things into your life where you can apply in a way that further glorifies Him in a different way, you could say. He's going to use you in different ways, not just a day-to-day. Because remember, we're part of the spiritual life is that we must be examined or tested by God. And you know as well as I do, when we're given a week or two or a month off, we get very relaxed. And we get kind of, you know, nonchalant about things. And God has a funny way of knowing when we get like that. He comes right behind us and gives us a test to pop us right back up tall and straighten up and on our toes. But see, it's designed to not only keep us in the plan, keep us focused, keep our eyes forward, but it's also designed to get you through that in a process and in a way that only God sees fit to do, which is hopefully that we are obedient through that and to glorify Him. So there's definitely advantages of this, and this happens to us because you have chosen to be obedient in your walk. You believe God is who He says He is as our God, and we believe His Word to be true, and we believe that all the advantages are involved in the Scripture that He says are involved. So we've chosen to take this direction, and it is a positive thing, as we've seen consistently through the Word. So gaining capacity, that's another thing that we're talking about, another subject that we're discussing here. If I can get this microphone right. And like I said earlier, capacity is an exciting thing because it helps you bear up under difficulties. Bear up under difficulties in a way that is satisfying not only to God, but glorifying to Him in a way that brings blessings in our lives. Can you hear me okay? Or did it go down a notch in volume? We'll figure it out here in a minute. Okay, we'll go with it. But we need to understand that capacity originates from God. This is a Godward thing to man. This isn't a manward thing. This is a Godward thing. So as we grow, we can't take on the understanding that I am doing something to where I can take on and withstand bigger and better things. This is things that we are receiving from the Word of God and able to do only because of God. So that's a big deal. Because, you know, part of the relaxation and being nonchalant in our spiritual life is we begin to think that we're doing something to uphold and maintain our own spiritual stability. And that's a dangerous area to be, because we've got to be weak in order to be strong. But when we start to think we're strong is when God gets us back into reality by reminding us that we are very weak. And so, and that's where capacity comes in. And the only way to gain capacity, as you know, is by growing in His Word and growing in your faith and your love towards God and that relationship with Him. This is a day-to-day development. This is not something that happens in a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. This is your progressive spiritual growth. Your capacity grows right along with that. That's the process that we go through. So, and of course, you know, along with gaining capacity, God has given us the ability to have joy in the midst, in the middle of this adversity. That's what He's provided, along with, as we saw in 1 Peter 1:7, praise, glory, and honor to the believer. Keep that in mind. Remember, the judgment seat should be somewhere in the back of your mind. Is it low again? Okay, it keeps sliding back on me. Hold on, bear with me here. How's that? Better? Okay. All right. Guess I need to see too, huh? Okay, sorry about that. Where were we? Okay. So we're talking about capacity, and we want to gain it. And that's what we do when we, and I might add that this is something that we gain only in time of the Spirit. The filling of the Spirit, growing to maturity, and gaining this capacity happens only by clocking in within the Spirit. What does that instantly should mean in your mind is acknowledging sin. All along the way of gaining capacity is that constant awareness of sin in our life. If we're going to grow, we're going to grow in a positive direction, we've got to do it in the walking by walking in the Spirit. That's the only way to do it. So, and capacity is also how we are able to not only enjoy the blessing, but maximize on your ambassadorship for Christ while enjoying the blessing. So see, God wants to for you to be a witness by your life, your words, your actions, everything that you do, and that includes with the blessings. So as we are growing down this path, we are gaining things that God wants to do, and we can really, truly enjoy them in a way that is honoring to Him. And is honoring, and how we should do that is exactly like I'm telling you, is through the Holy Spirit, through His power, and glorifying Him. So, we said capacity originates from God and His Word in your soul in combination with your faith and your love towards Him. So there goes right back to the relational aspect of this. You know, we can't ever forget that this is just words on a paper or just a teacher or just a pulpit or just this and that. These are words that are alive and powerful. There's no doubt about that they're words that change our lives as individual believers. And part of that means gaining capacity so we can fully enjoy the blessings and the adversity. Because when we truly understand the adversity and why we're in the adversity and the benefits that are surrounding the adversity, that God has chosen you because you are in a position to be in there in that adversity. You're able to not only uphold, bear the burden, but you're able to be weak and allow God to be strong in you. And that's an important place because, you know, it takes growth to do that. It takes humility. It takes a combination of the fruits of the Spirit to do these things. Adversity is not something that people enjoy. It's something that can be painful. It's something that can be not so fun. You can wake up and say, I don't want to get this day started because here we go again. I have to go through this issue. But I think there's a way that God has given us when we fully rely, fully trust, fully focus, and keep Him as our top priority, we can find that joy that He offers us through Him and through the Holy Spirit. No doubt about it. This isn't meant to be a negative against us. Even though sometimes we see it as a negative, it can appear to be a negative, but it's not a negative. This is a lot bigger picture. This is a spiritual issue. This is to your maximum advantage. God is trying to work through you. So keep that in mind as we experience some of these things. And also, what you're doing is you're proving your faith. Isn't that what an ambassador does? You are representing God before the people. Your life is a proof of the faith that you have in His Word. Now, in order to show this, it's not necessarily something that it may be visible, it may not be visible, but these things are in your soul. This is a thought process. This is a joy that you can have inside your soul and a contentment and a satisfaction to know where the solutions are. And that's a big deal because a lot of people look for solutions in all the wrong places, and we can too. As growing believers, we can look for solutions in the wrong places instead of the spiritual in God Himself. So that's definitely part of your witness. Your life is a demonstration of the effects of God's truth. And the test is designed to bring that out. It's designed for you to really lean into God and His Word in such a way that a witness comes out, your witness of God. God's Word is true. Your life is a representative of that. It's not just something we do. A lot of people think, you know, it's just good luck to go to church or to have a Bible in your car or in your house. This is real. This is definitely real. It's a thought process. It's things that we do in life that glorify God. I think God's Word is meant to be read, understood, taught, and applied. And when we fully go through that process as believers, being faithful to God and His Word, remember there's a middle ground in there. It's called your volition that has to grab these things and move forward with them. When we do that, God offers us that positive advantage that He promises us through His Word. It's truth. It's absolute truth. It's not just something that we read. It's meant to be understood and applied. So just briefly, I'm not going back too far, but I just want you to take an overview look at what we've been talking about. I think we can all understand that God's righteousness is perfect. It's sinless, and He wants us to walk in that very same righteousness that He gave us that belongs to Him, which is sinless. Now, we have sin natures, and we're commanded to walk in righteousness. So there's the struggle, there's the suffering, there's the pain, but there's a glorifying aspect. And we already talked about there's a joy within the midst of suffering. And I'm going to show you a little more detail on this, that there's also a patience aspect that must be involved in this that comes with our faith that I think is part of capacity. Patience is definitely, I think, connected to faith at the hip. It's almost an application of your faith. When we don't have patience, do we really have faith? I'd say no. Are we relying? Are we trusting? Well, if we have patience, we are. That's a demonstration of your faith. So God wants us to walk in this righteousness, the same one that He's given us. He's qualified us to meet His standards, and then He qualified us to live the life that He expects from us. Now, I think this is what a lot of people fail to recognize, because there's a struggle, right, with the sin nature here. There's a struggle between who's being glorified, who's taking the credit. Is it man or is it God? There's a struggle between works. Am I doing these things with the motivation to be seen, to be out front, to be taking the credit? Or, and that's a strong struggle, because we have sin natures that are desiring these things. We want credit. We want to be seen. We want to be out front. We want all the, you get the point? But that's not glorifying to God. The question to us as believers we have to make is, who is being glorified in our walk? Walking in righteousness excludes self-righteousness and upholds God's righteousness in you, which means God is glorified within that work. So be careful about clinging to that credit or, you know, climbing up that ladder that may be very visible to other people, because it's a dangerous place to be when it comes to God's desire for you and glorification of Him, and also what counts in His plan for us, right? And then we moved into walking in the light. You saw that we definitely need the Holy Spirit to be filled with the Spirit, not grieving or quenching the Spirit, and also being consistent in your intake of truth. And then finally applying all these things to demonstrate your faith. That's in a nutshell what we've been talking about for the last month or two, or these things right here. And we then moved into suffering. We know the mature believer will suffer for benefit and advantage. But that's why I want to talk about blessings, is because we've made it all the way up to this point for the reason of not just exploring it, but talking about what truly happens to the believer when we get to this point in our life. If God is going to present you with this much suffering and pain, you might as well know about what you're going to receive with that suffering and pain if you apply the word correctly, right? But even maturing believers can seek happiness in the things of this world. So there is still a struggle with maturing believers or mature believers growing spiritually of what direction we go for our happiness. Because if we're looking for happiness in the things of this world or people, we cannot find this joy that Scripture offers us through the Holy Spirit and through God and through His Word. We can't find it. Because you've got to... Where's your focus, in other words? Where's our priorities? Are we trusting fully? Are we trusting 80% in God and 20% in self? See, faith doesn't work like that. It's kind of like the example I gave you at the beginning. It's a sacrifice. It's an obedience thing. It's a, you know, you can't put 80% faith in God and 20% in self. That's not faith. That's not faith alone in Christ alone for salvation. It's not faith alone to God alone in your spiritual walk. It works in both cases. It works in your salvation and it works in the walk in how much we're trusting in God with the very day-to-day things in our life. How much do we trust Him? And I think that comes out in various ways. We can search. We can get tired of waiting. We can seek happiness in other places besides what God has provided us in the current circumstance with what we have, where we are in a certain hierarchy of work, career, structure, and family, you know, where the economy is maybe, where you are financially. There's a lot of things we can think about and want to reach, extend our hand, because that faith starts to falter. It starts to waver. And that's where we need to maybe take a little bit better look at, because when it comes to these things, there's a lot of places where capacity begins to not be gained anymore. It starts to be taken away, and that comes from ourselves when we seek happiness and we seek the things of this world. What do I mean? Well, what I just named. Job, people, toys, hobbies, money, house, property, position. We have to realize that these things are exactly what your capacity can handle and fully enjoy while still staying on track in the spiritual life. And what I mean by that is what you currently have right now. Right now. Capacity is included with God's blessings. He blesses in a way that is in accordance with your capacity. And see, what a lot of times we have a tendency to know who the blesser is, but we like to short circuit that process and reach a little bit faster than God wants to give. And there goes the faith. Because once you start to reach and not wait on God's timing and the blessing, wait on Him to bless in the timing, what happens is we reach for what was intended to be a blessing, what could have been a blessing, but we turn into something that is no longer a blessing. Because it's got wrong timing connected to it. It's got something that we're seeking happiness from that it can't give us back. And we discover that along the way. So, and you know, we're all human here. We all know this is a reality. And we all fall into this trap. And that's what it is. It's really a trap to us as believers. Because we all have a desire to enjoy things. That's natural. That's normal. And you can see where the faithfulness comes into this. You can see where the humility and the obedience come into this as far as that enjoyment. Where are we seeking our enjoyment? Are we, and I think it grows right back to faith every time, doesn't it? It's really how much do we trust in God and His plan and His word and His timing as well. So the current situation is what God has placed in your life. It's what He's given you because He knows for without a doubt that this is what you can handle. This is what you can handle. Now, we just got through talking about positive attention. God shows the believer who's growing in progressive sanctification, and blessings are definitely a part of that according to Scripture. Blessings are on the head of the righteous, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. So there you go. If blessings are going to be on your head, you might want to know about them before you get there. Before God drops them in your lap, we need to know about them. We have to prepare for them, and capacity is what prepares us for those things. One of the things that we desire and hope for and wait for is blessings. Well, prepare. We prepare for disaster, and we should also prepare for blessings. In order to be in a position to handle what God has for you, we've got to be prepared. Look at Proverbs 28:20. A faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who makes haste to be rich will not go unpunished. In other words, where's your faith? Where's your faith? Where's your priority is what this verse is telling us. Where's your trust? The word abound here, or the word faithful, let's look at that first. It means trustworthy, loyal, steadfastness, unswerving, fixed, or unchanging. Now, these are the same kinds of words that apply to a person who continues to walk in righteousness. Unswerving, faithfulness, fixed, your steadfastness. So those who are loyal in their relationship with God put Him first in their priority, in their day-to-day walk, will abound with blessing. There's no doubt about it. No doubt. A faithful man is one who seeks his happiness in his relationship with Christ. That's what a faithful man is. When we seek happiness in our relationship with Christ. I like the way the NIV translates abound here. It says, the faithful person will be richly blessed. The word abound means great, numerous, or many. So you can expect not one, not two, but plural. That's where I'll leave it. Many. Great blessings. God's not going to hold anything back. We're the ones that hold ourselves back. And it's so, you know, it's interesting that we always attempt to do God's job for Him when it comes to blessings. And we always end up causing sources of frustration or problems in our life by doing that. So, and I've already talked about that a little bit, but and we know that God is perfect when it comes to blessing, when it comes to everything about that blessing. The verse says to us here, to the faithful person, the one who trusts in God, which means we can't trust God in some areas of our life and not in others. That's what that's telling me. We can't do it in some and not in others. Not going to work. We can't do it here in some areas this way, but when it comes to the things we enjoy, the faith just falls on the ground. No, I want this at a certain time. There's just things are right in my life. Things seem to be lining up. But is it God's timing? That's the question. Is it God's timing? Otherwise, you have a blessing sitting there not being enjoyed. You may have it, but you're not able to fully enjoy it as God has intended that blessing to be enjoyed. We all have things like that around that we have that aren't being enjoyed as they are fully intended to be enjoyed. Because we've taken out the blesser and we've become the blesser, or the false blesser, you could say. Bless ourselves, right? And I kind of relate this a little bit. You remember I talked a while back about our lust patterns in our lives the other day, and how lust patterns can keep us out of fellowship, and those things that we don't really zero in on, because we can confess these things and then right after that we can still be desiring certain things in our life. Blessings is definitely some of those things. And when we overdo it, when we extend ourselves in thinking about and imagining, and you know, we can go over the deep end, you know, somebody has to slap us because we're thinking of something all the time. It becomes a lust pattern of maybe some type of pleasure that you hope to enjoy or hope that God blesses you with. But see what's happened. When we're desiring that much, what's faded? The faith. The faith and the patience have gone by the wayside. We've trusted for a little while, but we just can't wait on it any longer. So first of all, we go through the process of thinking about it for an extended period of time because we hope to enjoy it one day. And there's nothing wrong with doing that to a certain extent, but when it consumes you, there's a problem. That's a problem. When you desire something and you think about it a lot, we can calculate that as a lust. Definitely a lust. And that's a lust for things that have potential to be blessings. We don't want to turn them into something that's going to fall us up, right? Foul us all up. So, lust is one of the things, we're talking about faith right now. Lust is one of the things that is opposite of faith. Faith is patient. Lust is impatient. You can see that in your life. You drop, sometimes we make, you know, decisions, drop of a hat. We have to purchase something. I've got to have that. We've all done that. And you may still do that. I don't know. Maybe if it's God's timing, maybe it's a good buy. I'm not saying it's not a good buy. But at the same time, lust is impatient. Lust is impatient. Faithfulness is patient. You know, there's a verse that we're going to look at later that talks about acknowledging God in our walk. We have to be in a place to where we look to God's guidance in every step of the way. The acknowledging God just isn't just giving him lip service. It's acknowledging him in a way that, are we checking ourselves in our relationship when it comes to not only the filling of the Holy Spirit, but walking in his righteousness. And even in that decision to make a bad decision or good decision about a blessing. And that's where that acknowledgement comes in. God, is this what I'm supposed to do? Why don't we pray about it? Why don't we take a step back? You know what? If he wants me to have it, it'll still be there. It'll still be there. And you know what? If he really wants me to have it, I would rather do it his way than my way. That's that acknowledging God and making the step in your life to say, you know what, this takes patience and this takes faith, because if it's up to me, I'm going to get it right now. And then I'm not going to be able to fully enjoy it as God intended. This is really a capacity and a faith issue. We don't want to go outside of our capacity when we're speaking about blessings. Because, you know, logically, you want to enjoy the blessing. You want it. You want it. But that's what we're thinking we will do if we get it early, but it doesn't work. It never works. That's the thing. It's that lemonade stand that kind of fades. It fades away. It seems like it will work. It seems like a good idea. It seems like reality, but it just doesn't. When our faith slides or doesn't rely on God. Look at Hebrews 6:11. It says, "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Look, there it is right here in Scripture. Faith and patience, that's because I think they're really connected in a way that is very, very intimate. Faith and patience. Are you really faithful if you have no patience? I'd argue no. Not in the object of your faith anyways. You can't be faithful if you're not patient on the object of your faith. You can't. It's impossible. The word diligent here, you see it. It means swiftness of movement or action, earnest commitment in discharge of an obligation or experience of a relationship, eagerness. I think eagerness is a good way to explain this word. Are we eager to realize or to, do you see what the verse says? To realize the full assurance of hope until the end. Are we eager to realize the proof of our faith? That's what this verse is saying. Are we eager to realize, to prove what the Word of God can do in our lives? That's what the verse is saying. We should be eager to want to see what does application actually look like. Is it true? Is God's Word true? And let's see that happen. That's an eagerness. We should all desire to see that application come to fruition. And this is no different with faith and patience. Test yourself when it comes to your volition. Put your volition to the test with patience. Rely on God in a way that glorifies Him. And you will notice that there is a satisfying aspect because you fully trust on the other end of that patience. You trust in God. You trust in His timing. You trust and you know for sure that He's looking out for your best interest. And He's waiting. He's waiting for that capacity level to just go up one more click so He can give. See, there is a joy there. There is a joy. We just have to understand who we're dealing with and what He wants for us. It's only benefit. So trusting is linked with patience. The word for patience here is, listen to this, it's very basic, but it makes a lot of sense. A state of remaining tranquil while awaiting an outcome. Isn't that the truth? We have to remain tranquil, remain calm, remain collected, and not go off the hinge when we desire a blessing. Don't jump prematurely. That's not awaiting an outcome. So it's easy to see that this has a place of waiting. Of waiting. Patience means waiting. God's plan includes waiting because there has to be growth involved. And when we're sluggish in our growth, the waiting becomes longer. When we're moving and applying and glorifying God, the waiting becomes less and less and less, depending on your growth. See, it all depends on your growth. How much are you desiring and how faithful are you as a believer? You know, we can stay behind in the dust when it comes to not waiting. We can't ever wait. We got to have it now. But you'll never find that place of joy. You'll never find that satisfaction that you're looking for. This is the only way to do it. It's got to include that wait time, that patience, and the joy within the patience. And as we're getting to, there's something else that comes out of all this. How about Thanksgiving? Thankfulness. That's the result that comes from a satisfied, fulfilled wait. There comes a thanksgiving. You could say the cream on top is the thanksgiving that kind of rises to the top. And it's sweet. It has sugar in it. Sorry, Betty. It is sweet just a little bit. But think about that. Thanksgiving is something to be enjoyed. Have you ever been unhappy when you're thankful? No, you haven't. No, you haven't. When we are thankful, we are satisfied. We're happy with what we have. We're happy because God has given us all we can handle, and we understand that He only wants the best for us. That's satisfaction. And so thankfulness is one of those things that just comes with, I think, faith and patience. Because right when you get that thankfulness in your life, start to look. Start to look. Because God realizes that you have passed that test of waiting, of being patient, because this is something that's coming from your soul. You're thankful for what you have. You're not looking, you're not desiring, you're not even necessarily hoping. You just say, this is what I have, and I'm going to fully enjoy this, and all of a sudden, boom, there you go. We've got to get to that point. Which means free from restlessness. When we get restless, we tend to make bad decisions. Restlessness leads to looking for happiness your way instead of God's way. And we lose faith and patience in God's perfect timing in blessing us. So these words, they're definitely connected here. And they're both rooted in trusting and being patient. It's all application, I think. Application. Patience is the application of your faith. It's the application of your faith. How real is it to you? How important is it? So all this is feeding into your capacity to handle the greater blessings. We've just got to get out of God's way. One way to look at this, we have to get out of His way. He's waiting on us to get into that area of thanksgiving and to realize, see, there is, when it comes to the physical things in life, we've got to let God do His job. We have such a habit of, you know, doing things prematurely when it comes to what we have or what we don't have or where we are to satisfy that happiness. That's God's area. God has a monopoly on that. And when we come to that understanding, we can really start to have some fun because God wants us to. And that's His definite desire for us. And another thing that comes out of this is that, of course, you're proving or showing proof of your faith because you've trusted in God's timing. And you're embracing not only what He wants to bless you with, but when He wants to bless you with it. See, we have to embrace both. The what and the when. Because the what isn't going to be perfect. And you may think the when isn't perfect, but both of those are from God and they're aligned with our capacity. The what and the when. Because if we begin to nitpick things, where's the thankfulness? You're either complaining or you're thankful. There's one or the other. So realize the source. I think that goes right back to the source. Where do these things come from? Maybe God wants you to experience the lesser before you get the greater or the better model. Maybe He wants to give you the lesser model with a lot of less features because He wants you to fully appreciate that one before you get the better one. We always go straight for the best one. You know, that's the one I want. And then we get it. We can't even operate the stupid thing. Then we don't ever figure out all the features because it's just way beyond our capacity. God was trying to give you the one that you could handle and you could fully function with, but we short-circuited the process. So you see what I mean, but this can get us into either a lot of trouble or a lot of happiness and joy and contentment. So with that being said, that's a good place to stop. And we may finish this up on Sunday, and then we'll switch over to the love of God and explore that area and how that love affects us in our life and how we can use it, apply it to others around us. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful for Your Word, thankful for the ability to understand it in a way that is not only gives us a chance to live it and apply it, but it also glorifies you and it benefits us in the same way, because we are ultimately satisfied, happy, thankful for what you've given us in the current circumstances. We thank you so much for being able to be a part of this. Your word tells us the only thing that we ever had to do for any of this is to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, to believe in him by faith alone in Christ alone. We are saved by faith through grace that is not of ourselves, is a gift of God. We thank you so much for everything that you do for us. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.